The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
40 years ago this weekend, the Ukrainian city of Chernobyl entered our collective memory for all the wrong reasons. Here is how the BBC Newsnight programme reported the news.
But first, that explosion at a nuclear plant in the Soviet Union. What caused it and how many people did it hurt? Scanty information has come so far from the Soviets, but here's Peter Snow to help fill out the gaps.
It does now seem likely that sometime in the last couple of days there's been perhaps the worst accident in the short history of the world's nuclear power industry. The Russians may have been hoping they could contain it without having to release the news, as they appear to have tried to do so in an earlier accident in the Urals 19 years ago. But the fact that they've had to reveal it and admit that there are casualties suggests they're deeply worried about the scale of it. Well, it was just 4 hours ago when Soviet viewers were watching their evening news bulletin and the announcer revealed that the accident had taken place. The official news agency TASS later added that aid was being given to those affected. The accident was at Chernobyl, a town of around 50,000 people, about 50 miles due north of Kiev in Ukraine, and around 300 miles southwest of Moscow. The city of Kiev alone has a population of some 1.5 million people. There is no news tonight of any evacuation, although TASS did say that measures were being taken, and I quote, to eliminate the consequences of the accident.
And that report back in the day, 40 years ago from BBC Newsnight. Well, that accident ruined lives when it happened and continued its destruction in the days, the months and the years that followed. However, there was one beacon of hope. A young Irish woman was determined that the children suffering from the devastating consequences of radiation would be given a chance to live a life as normal as possible, even for 5 or 6 weeks a year. The Chernobyl Children's International Charity was created and summers in Ireland became a welcome respite from the horrors. Host families sometimes became permanent families as holidays turned into adoptions. And it was, I suppose, a little piece of joy coming from a very dark place. And I'm delighted to say that 40 years later, the same young Irish woman, she's laughing, is sitting opposite me now. Adie Roach, good morning and welcome.
A young 70-year-old, I have to say.
Now, you never dreamed when all that started you'd be still doing this, Pat, 40 years on.
Do you know something? I'm a believer now in not having a life plan, because if I had known then what we would have to do subsequently, I swear to God, I would have run a million miles in the opposite direction, because I would have said, I don't have the expertise, I don't have the money or the capacity. Do you know, sometimes it's important to go with the impulses of the heart. Mm. But listening to the broadcast there from BBC brought so many memories back from that time, because I'm still, because we're just on the cusp of the actual anniversary. And in a sense, it's like as if a new word entered the history of the English language, entered into the history of world disasters and the world itself, the word Chernobyl. And in a sense, Chernobyl has become a symbol, like a potent metaphor, actually, for catastrophe. And in a sense, it's like a cautionary tale of we need to take heed.
By the way, are you changing your pronunciation? You know, the way the Ukrainians are saying it's Chernobyl?
Well, the gas thing is, everybody thinks we're misspelling all of our press statements and on our website. And on, you know, we've a big banner dropped off Liberty Hall, by the way. Hope you see it when you're driving home, that says Chernobyl is forever. Chernobyl. This is a political thing. The United Nations passed a regulation, and they've asked on all countries to acknowledge the Ukrainian spelling as opposed to the E, which is the Russian spelling. So we have gone in solidarity with Ukraine. And so we've changed it too, but it's causing huge confusion.
They think we're getting it wrong, but you're not.
Can you
remember where you were and what your life was like at the moment you heard the news?
I can absolutely tell you, Pat. It was actually, do you know, you and I are old enough to remember the Cold War, and it kind of was at the height of the Cold War, and there were negotiations going on for treaties for disarmament, etc. And I was working as a volunteer with a campaign for nuclear disarmament, and I had felt my place.
But you had
that.
A day job.
I did. I was in Aer Lingus. God help us. I did have a paid job once upon a time, and I did have a career. But you know, this became my passion, and I was actually speaking in a school in Middleton, County Cork. I remember the principal teacher came out on the stage. She said, there's been a news flash on RTE saying that there's been a terrible nuclear disaster, place we'd never heard of in Ukraine, called Chernobyl. And in a sense, I felt I knew the theory, all about Hiroshima, Nagasaki, what would happen in the event of a nuclear bomb being dropped, everything. And I knew that, you know, what was the potential for catastrophe. So I kind of said, well, do you keep talking about it or do you take the action? And then that was in 1986. I set up, would you believe, with a group of Irish doctors, an emergency hotline for Irish families, because everybody was terrified. Are our children going to get contaminated? Will it be in our food? Will it be in our water? And the government wasn't doing anything at the time. Germany was doing loads, but Ireland wasn't. So that was the start as first responders. Yeah. In 1986.
Because, I mean, the fallout can go anywhere, depending on the prevailing wind.
Absolutely.
And it was likely that something would wash over Ireland at some point.
And you know, Pat, that is exactly what transpired. The one thing we learned very early on is the transboundary nature of what we ended up calling an invisible enemy. Like, it was like a war was declared. But in this one, there was no standing army. There was no antidote, no safe haven, no protection to mind your people. It literally, it doesn't take any regard for race, class, religion. It is indiscriminate in who it attacks. And it was carried by the prevailing winds, mainly over the neighbouring country of Belarus. They got 70% of the contamination all across northern Ukraine, western Russia, and then the rest of the planet got a dusting. And Pat, this now is verified by meteorology since and satellite imagery. On about the 9th or 10th of May, we got a heavy amount of rainfall and we got a real dusting of radioactivity that came down in the rainfall. And as a result of that, there were consequences. So like, there is no place safe, no safe haven. And in a sense, Pat, what's so important to say today is what brought the relevance of Chernobyl back centre stage for all of the wrong reasons in February 2022 with the Russian invasion assault of Chernobyl.
And there has been damage to the sarcophagus caused by Russian attack.
Do you know what? Now, we fought for the sarcophagus and our government was brilliant. We were one of the...
Just to, if people don't know, it's basically a concrete enclosure.
Yeah.
To keep what's left of the reactor.
It's actually, and you being an engineer, this is like, I'm one of the most sophisticated engineering feats in the history of humankind. And it was to contain the remaining 219 tons of very radioactive material, which is left inside like a rumbling radioactive volcano. So to stop another explosion, and this was to last for 100 years. Ireland was a big contributor to that. It took 20 years to build. Bill Clinton was very involved in it. And this was to protect us until they came up with another solution of what you do with what's inside. It was like the Titanic, which was unsinkable until it sank. Yeah. This was impregnable until a drone attack on Valentine's Day, above all days, went right through. And now it has compromised the whole facility. So there's just some new reports coming out now for the anniversary that's saying there is a definite concern that the reactor underneath could start releasing radioactivity.
And the problem is that Ukraine and Russia are at war.
And they're at war. Pat, I still can't believe that, because this is the first time in the history of the atomic age that a nuclear facility has been included as a weapon of war. For the first time, they have weaponized nuclear facilities. It's like a collision between nuclear power and modern warfare. And actually, the world doesn't even really realise what that meant. They took over the reactors. They caused huge damage by even the movement of troops on their way, the tank path to Kyiv, which they didn't get to. But they actually unlocked the radioactivity, which was like a sleeping giant just below the top 2 centimetres. And that caused a huge re-release. Then they went on to Zaporizhia. And one of the things we're saying, Pat, this is a form of nuclear terrorism. We have to make sure that this is deemed a war crime. By the Hague Convention, actually, it is. But we must enforce it. Because what I would be afraid of, Pat, is the next Chernobyl becomes Chernobyl itself. But maybe there's some madcap person out there that would say, there's a good target now to cause a lot of destruction. And even going back to 9/11, looking at what happened, the terror of that, their first target actually wasn't the Twin Towers. It was actually a nuclear facility. But they decided psychologically, we're going to go for something that's in the American psyche, the Twin Towers. But can you imagine the destruction if that had happened?
Now, your work, I suppose, political sometimes, but mostly humanitarian.
Oh my God, it is absolutely 100% humanitarian. That is like the lifeblood. We have tens of thousands of volunteers that were actually celebrated yesterday in Áras an Uachtaráin. President Connolly did a magnificent event. We brought representative groups, about 100 people. We had a refugee Ukrainian choir singing with a Ukrainian opera singer. And the president made an extraordinary speech worth looking up on the Áras website when it's put up there. And it was about, I suppose, memory, remembrance. It was about commemoration and it was about reflection about, you know, the actual damage that it did to human life. Because the thing is, Pat, it's not a historic event. Like Chernobyl was forever. Chernobyl is forever because it's locked in the DNA. And as a doctor said to me one day, you cannot undo the genetics. And it's in the land, it's in the air. But so what we want to do is to tell the story afresh, to tell it anew, while celebrating the extraordinary, uplifting, heartwarming, even heroic generosity of the Irish people. We have donated 110 million, but that's not just a financial figure. It actually is a testament to the extraordinary compassion of the Irish people.
Now, when you went to visit in the wake of all of this and you came across the children who'd been confined to orphanages, and that's probably too kind a word for them,
yeah.
You know, asylums, sitting in their own feces, untended, deemed to be mentally ill and not perhaps meant, just traumatised.
Traumatised.
Utterly traumatised.
Absolutely. And, you know, we would never make a judgment call when people have to abandon their children because they were so terrified in the aftermath of the tragedy. Like the state enforced tens of thousands of abortions on pregnant women, the trauma of that. Then people that had children, they felt there was no hope for the future. Suicides rocketed. And then all these children ended up in mental asylums. But you know what came out of that, Pat, was we decided that we would try and save some of those children. We are our biggest body of work that we will do to the grave is working on shutting down the institutions that each child is given basic human rights. So this is a human rights issue. But we, myself and Ali Hewson, actually, we negotiated on behalf of the Irish government a unique adoption agreement for the children of Chernobyl to be adopted by Irish families. And that was one of the most extraordinary bodies of work that we did. So yesterday at the Áras, several of these now gorgeous young women and young men were there being received by our president. These were children that were declared brain dead. Like one of them is in the Department of Foreign Affairs. The other one's working for Google. Like they're all doing one of them is in forensics. These were children that were abandoned, cast aside, living like little animals. But the humanity of the Irish people is our ská chéile a mhair na daoine, that we live in the shadow of each other. We said we are brothers, sisters, sons, daughters. And we love each other because there is more love in the world than there is hatred. We don't hear a lot about it because all we hear and see is about the hatred. But the power of love and hope can move mountains, Pat. And I see it every day.
Well, I was going to say, long may the work continue. It'll have to continue one way or the other. It's
absolutely
not. It's not a kind of a wishful thing. It has to.
And
it has to continue.
Can I tell you one gorgeous story? This is about the power of intervention. As we are speaking here today on radio, we have an international surgical cardiac pediatric team on the humanitarian front line of Ukraine performing life-saving surgeries on newborn babies that are born with a condition called Chernobyl heart. It's a condition that they cannot live with, but they will die with without surgical intervention. Our surgeons have run the gauntlet from the very first week of the war. They said, we're not for turning on this because we cannot leave these children.
Finally, Eddie, if people want to help, and I know they do, but I mean, what should they do? Should they go on your website?
Oh, please, ChernobylChildrenInternational.com. I hope that's right. But please just look up my name and you might find it that way. I'm very bad for the website address.
Eddie Roach, thank you very much for joining us in studio today.
The Pat Kenny Show, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.